Good afternoon. My name is Chantelle, and I'll be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Kenmare Resources PLC 2022 Annual General Meeting. As a reminder, today's conference call is being recorded. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there'll be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask an audio question during the call, simply press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, please press star one again. Thank you. Steven McTiernan of Kenmare Resources, you may begin your conference.
Thank you very much, Chantelle. As you can see, we're doing a hybrid meeting today, but it's wonderful to be back in person with you all. Welcome to the 2022 Annual General Meeting of Kenmare. My name is Steven McTiernan, and I'm the Chairman of the company, and we're delighted to welcome all our shareholders back to the first physical meeting since 2019. All of our directors are present here today, and we're also joined by a lot of other advisors and friends, most particularly our auditors, KPMG, and members of our senior management team. As Chantelle said, this meeting is also being broadcast by way of conference call and webcast for those who are unable to join us in person. I'd like to take a moment to introduce the board to you. Michael Carvill is very well known to most of you, our Managing Director. He's based in Dublin. He's an engineer by profession, and he's been with Kenmare, and indeed founded Kenmare in 1986. Tony McCluskey, our Finance Director. He's also based in Dublin and joined the company in 1999. He's a chartered accountant. Sadly, we recently announced Tony's intention to retire later this year, subject to his re-election today. He will be very missed. He's been a stalwart for Kenmare almost as long as Michael. Graham Martin is our Senior Independent Director and Chair of the Nominations Committee and the Remuneration Committee. He's a natural resources executive and international lawyer and joined the company in 2016. Deirdre Somers is a qualified chartered accountant and former chief executive of the Irish Stock Exchange. She is currently chair of Kenmare's Audit and Risk Committee, and she's also based in Dublin. Elaine Dorward-King joined Kenmare in 2019. She's a scientist and very senior mining executive of many years' experience. She lives in the U.S., and she chairs the Sustainability Committee. Clever Fonseca is based in Florida and is a mining engineer, and he joined the company in 2018. Samir Undekar joined Kenmare in March 2021, and he's a senior manager in the Diversified Private Equity Investments Portfolio Department of the Oman Investment Authority. Andrew Webb was previously a managing director at Rothschild in the global advisory team with specialization in mining for 25 years. He's based in the U.K. and was appointed to the board in December 2021. As you will be aware, he was appointed as chair designate at that time, and he will take over as chair of the company at the conclusion of this meeting. Mette De Bell is our most recent non-exec director. She's based in Denmark and is also regional president with FLSmidth, a distinguished engineering equipment and service provider to the mining and cement industries. She's based in Copenhagen, and she's joined the board with effect from 1st of January this year. With those introductions, I'd like to make a few comments now as chair, it being my final AGM with the company, I'm sad to say. I'm delighted to report that Kenmare's performance in 2021 was really outstanding, without doubt the best in the history of the company. Almost $100 million were paid to shareholders via dividends and a share buyback. Loyal investors, of whom many are in the room today, are being properly rewarded for their faith in Kenmare, and the share price has responded positively. Kenmare paid 25% of profit after tax in 2021 as dividends, and that's also paving the way for stronger shareholder returns in 2022 and thereafter. As I mentioned, this is my final AGM as chairman, and it's gratifying to leave the company in a strong position after 9 years on the board and almost 8 years as chairman. Michael Carvill, the Chief Executive, will shortly provide a much more detailed review of our excellent 2021 operational and financial results and provide an outlook for 2022. So I don't want to duplicate what Michael says, and given this is my last AGM, I'd like to offer some perspective as I see it on the longer term and looking at the progress Kenya has made during my tenure as chairman. And I think we've put together some building blocks of durable competitive advantage. Michael and the team have painstakingly constructed a base from which the company can continue to grow and prosper. One area I'd first like to comment on, which is vital for company growth and survival, is know-how and the depth, maturity, and diversity of talent now available within the company and on the board has improved materially. Not that it was problematic in when I joined the board in 9 years ago. But we must recognize that Kenmare is still small by the standards of the mining giants, and the company has assiduously developed the strength and depth both in mining operations talent and in project development disciplines, and as proved by the outstanding delivery of three major expansion projects in 2018 and 2020, pretty much on time and on budget, despite the serious challenges from COVID and other factors, has underpinned our ilmenite production expansion to approximately 1.2 million tonnes per annum. These achievements clearly demonstrate that Kenmare makes good technical choices and then executes complex projects successfully and efficiently. And shareholders, I would like to pass the message on that you should now have confidence that Kenmare can engineer and deliver mineral sands projects more efficiently than anyone else in the industry. These capabilities are crucial as Kenmare faces up to the longer-term demands for development of the massive Nataka ore zone. It's the biggest part of our reserves at the moment mine, and importantly, the skills we're developing generally provide optionality for exploitation not only of Nataka, but other possible growth options in future. But again, most importantly, being still relatively small, a cohesive team, Kenmare is agile and can and does react swiftly and effectively to changing circumstances. How has this talent been generated and sustained? Well, in Mozambique, Kenmare has invested in community development initiatives, including constructing a technical college, funding scholarships for over 15 years. These programs are really bearing fruit, with an increasing pool of talent available to fill leadership and other company roles in the coming years. It's very gratifying and important to see such a high percentage of Mozambicans in our workforce. I think it's over 95%. And including the most senior post at the mine of general manager. And Eugenio is here today. Maybe you'd like to stand up, Eugenio. Eugenio has done a terrific job since he joined us about 9 years ago. We also have an increasing and significant proportion of women in the workforce, which we're gratified to see. And this talent development has been achieved while maintaining a remarkable safety record. And currently, we have not had a lost time incident for well over a year and 9 million man hours, which must be some kind of record. So these long-term talent development measures have not only strengthened our capabilities, but have also created, I believe, a self-sustaining organization, which is a key pillar of sustainable competitive advantage. Which brings me to the broader sustainability or ESG agenda. As we all know, clamor for clear reporting and action by companies to achieve higher standards of health and safety, ethics, environment, diversity, communities, governance, and climate change-related questions have increased dramatically in recent years. This pressure has come from investors, governments, and the public at large, and rightly so. And I have to say, natural resource companies have frequently been prime targets for criticism for poor performance against sustainability parameters, sometimes justified, perhaps sometimes not. Most have felt threatened by the scrutiny. But I want to assure you, not Kenmare, because Kenmare has always placed sustainability and ethical behavior at the heart of its business practices. From the outset of operation in Mozambique, Kenmare has worked responsibly to achieve ambitious sustainability goals, even before they became an external focus. And so therefore, we welcome the opportunity with these recent moves to improve sustainability reporting, to be able to highlight our exemplary track record in an inaugural sustainability report of some substance last year, and thank you very much for that, Elaine, who runs our sustainability committee very capably. That report set out our guiding principles with some examples of our approach to responsible behaviors. This year, we published our second sustainability report, for the first time setting out explicit public sustainability targets. And also the board ratified an inaugural climate policy and published the first climate strategy report, fully aligned with the recommendations of the TCFD, the Task Force on Climate-Related Financial Disclosures. And turning to strategy, Kenmare's priorities are very clear. We will operate responsibly to deliver long-life, low-cost production. We'll allocate capital efficiently, and we'll also continue to look at developing accretive growth opportunities. The Kenmare team is committed to achieving these strategic goals, and the careful planning is going on for the commencement of production from the Nataka ore zone, now to commence in 2025. And commencing mining at Nataka will unlock production for Kenmare for decades to come. We also have sustained an unrelenting focus on becoming a first quartile producer, which means on the industry revenue to cost curve. Achievement of these long-term strategic goals will support further increases in free cash flow and potential for higher dividends, and Kenmare will be well positioned in case of a downturn in the mineral sands markets, which, while very strong right now, are fundamentally cyclical. Then moving on, managing change. I think the company manages change very effectively. Operations in Mozambique, our employees, the community, and the composition of the board and senior management has been changing. In respect of the board, as well as my impending retirement, three other non-executive directors retired last year: Peter Backus, Gabriel Smith, and Tim Keating. And as recently announced, Kenmare's accomplished and long-serving finance director, Tony McCluskey, will also be retiring later this year. Deirdre Corcoran retired from the company secretary role last year too. But I do want to assure you that these transitions have been carefully planned, as they must be in a small company. We've welcomed Andrew Webb as chair designate. Messi de Bell is a very capable, independent, non-exec director with credentials in mining equipment and automation. And Samir Undekar, who has been a very effective board representative for our largest esteemed shareholder, the Emer Investment Authority. Graham Martin, the longest-serving non-executive director now, has taken over the role of senior independent director. And as far as the company secretary role is concerned, Chalita Healy has ably assumed that role from the ERI. And finally, we've got a organized search process ongoing to find a suitable replacement for Tony McCluskey. After these changes, the composition of the board and senior management will continue to provide the company with strong and diverse and appropriate mix of talents, skills, and experience well-suited to the business and challenges ahead. And as my final statement as chair, I'd like to sincerely thank all stakeholders, staff, senior management team, and my esteemed board members, and our advisors, two or three who I'm glad to see here today, for their commitment and assistance and achievements during the past 9 years. We are delighted at the support you've provided, Kenmare. So, finally, best of luck to Andrew Webb in taking over as chair following this AGM. Andrew brings significant financial and natural resources experience in the mining sector, and he's provided strategic leadership after a quarter of a century at the senior levels with Rothschild, which is one of the most prestigious and long-established investment banks in Europe. I'm confident that he and the rest of this capable board will take Kenmare to higher levels of achievement in future years. But most importantly, profound thanks and appreciation to the company founder and chief executive, Michael Carvel. His commitment goes back much longer than my 9 years. Michael has been and continues to be the inspiration, energy, and guiding light for Kenmare. Michael, it's been a pleasure working with you.
Thanks, Stephen.
Anyway, with buoyant product markets currently, as Michael will shortly outline, and the capacity to deliver approximately 1.2 million tons per annum of ilmenite on a sustainable basis, and decades of reserves ahead of us, I'm confident that Kenmare will continue to create value in 2022 and beyond. Many thanks to all. So, Michael, if you can squeeze out of there, maybe you go to the podium and tell us some of the details.
Sure. Thanks, Stephen.
Good afternoon, everyone. And it's wonderful to see some old friends back in the room as we return to real-life AGMs after a hiatus during COVID. So, again, it's wonderful to see our old shareholders back, and it's nice to be back here. And Stephen, thank you very much for those very kind words. You're much too kind, but it was well worth a fiver. I'll settle later. and so I'll just quickly go through a presentation that we have here that I think a lot of people in the room know this information, but there are people on the phone as well. And so just to quickly summarize where the company is at the moment. Kenmare is now the largest supplier in the world to the global merchant market for ilmenite. So we have moved from being a small player in this market to the largest player. We've been in production for 15 years. It seems a long time, but there is a huge resource ahead of us. It will last for over 100 years based on our present level of mining. So that gives the opportunity for long-term prosperity for the company and stakeholders, but also the opportunity for expansion. We have low environmental impact. We have a low CO2 emission per ton of our product because we use hydro-generated electric power as our main power source. We have spent quite a bit of money to build this mine, and so we think it's highly appropriate that we have been able to pay our shareholders back and we're able to release redistribute $100 million back to shareholders last year, and we hope that in the future years that we will be able to continue to distribute good returns back to shareholders. Stephen talked about sustaining our competitive advantage, and we believe that we can do so. And a key factor in that is operating responsibly. We see it as one of the planks upon which our competitive advantage is built. And as Stephen said, we have now reached 9 million hours worked with a single lost time injury, which is certainly a record for the company, and it's a very significant achievement for the team at site. In order to have a sustainable competitive advantage, you have to produce your material at a level that gives you a good margin, and for us that means operating at a low cost. And so a 48% increase in ilmenite production last year is a critical part of doing that, because our operating cost is largely fixed. Not totally fixed, but it's largely fixed. So the more tons that we produce, the lower the operating cost per ton. And so we're delighted to have been able to increase our production by that level. And that then leads us to the issues of how to allocate our capital. And we believe we will allocate our capital efficiently and carefully and with due rigor and process in the future. Just reviewing 2021, I mentioned the strong safety performance. I don't think we need to labour it, but you can see that a gradually diminishing graph has gone down to a very, very low level. And again, it's a huge performance, and that's taken commitment right through the whole organisation to get there. It's a symptom of people being highly engaged in their work and valuing the safety of not only themselves, but all of their colleagues. We have always strived to operate in a sustainable fashion, but we're now getting more sustainable, and we're getting better at reporting that sustainability. The planks that we base that on are that safe and engaged workforce. So we did a workforce engagement survey recently, and 97% of the people working for the company were either highly engaged or engaged in their work, which is a very, very high level of commitment from the staff. We believe strongly that the communities around us must see the fact that there is a mine in their vicinity as a good in their lives, and we work very hard to do that. It's not the case that every single person in the communities feels that, because there's always a range of opinion in any community. But in general, I believe that we've been successful, and people in general feel that the fact that there's a mine there, and the way we operate the mine, and the way we dialogue with the community has been positive in their lives. We're all aware of climate, and we take it very seriously. As I mentioned, most of our power comes from a hydroelectric dam, and is therefore fully sustainable with no carbon emissions. However, we do use some fuel oil, and therefore produce carbon emissions, and we have been working to reduce that. And at the moment, we are just commissioning a large new project called RUPS, which will reduce our carbon intensity by, I think it's 12% next year, and another 4% the next year after that, I believe. So it's a very significant project for us. And that's a project with a positive net present value as well. So we save money, it creates a better operating environment, and it's good for the environment. And we also work very hard to be a trusted business with our customers, that the customers believe that we're, a reputable, solid supplier, that we engage well with them, that we don't try to be too smart with them or anything like that, that they see us as a reliable, safe, secure supplier, and also that the people that supply us operate their businesses in sustainable fashion, and don't either bribe anyone or exploit anyone, and in general behave in a proper way. And we ask them to sign documents to say that, and we audit their premises to ensure that that's the case. So we achieved record production in 2021. It was a 48% increase in the production of all finished products, and a 51% increase in shipments. And so the fascinating thing is that we were able to do that and increase our shipments by 51% and also increase price through the year. So I think that's the most interesting thing, is that the market was ready to absorb that material and was able to do so and increase price. So we think that's a remarkable achievement. That production increase was facilitated by us moving Wet Concentrator Plant B from its previous mining area at Namalope to a new mining area at Pilivili, which was a very major project, which we'd been working on for 2.5 years, and which the project execution team pulled off in the face of huge difficulties with COVID, but managed to get it done. And that, my understanding is that movement of the Wet Concentrator Plant is the largest. That's the largest mass that has been moved on a road by that distance ever in the world by any other party. So it's quite a feat to achieve in a remote place in northern Mozambique. So the economies of scale, you can see from those graphs from 2020 to 2021, as our volume increased, our operating cost per unit reduced. And so that was an 18% reduction in operating cost per ton. It really is the future, is that we have to keep operating at a high level to keep those operating costs low and to allow us retain our position in the first quartile of the margin curve for this industry. You see, Catherine, I wonder, could you pass me my glass of water, please? Thanks. So, thanks very much. All of that means that our shipments were up. Our sales price, as I mentioned, was also up. And when you combine those together, it produced a very significant improvement in EBITDA to $216 million. And again, a very significant improvement in our net profit after tax to $129 million. So it's really, you can see those increases in production, shipments, sales price, all combined together have quite a dramatic effect on the bottom line. I mentioned that our RUPS project is currently in commissioning. It's really at the end of commissioning. We expect in the next week or so that it will be fully up and running and supporting our mineral separation plant. And that will provide more, a steadier supply of electrical power, reduce the volatility of electrical power supply to the mineral separation plant through the year, and therefore give us the opportunity to both control our grid better and to produce more material from the mineral separation plant through the year. So we think it's a great project. And then while we managed to move my concentrator plant B in 2020, we have another wet concentrator plant to move in probably in 2026, including sort of about that area. And so we are already studying and organizing for that move of wet concentrator plant A. Now, it'll be a different sort of move. We won't be lifting this plant and carrying it along a road that we've built, but rather it will mine itself along a relatively narrow channel to the new mining area. So it's a lower risk project in terms of the actual movement of the plant. And the area that it's mining through is mineralized. It's just not mineralized at the same grade as the rest of the time. But nonetheless, it is a big project. It will require infrastructure, services, etc., to be installed at the new mining area. And that all takes a lot of preparation, and that preparation is underway with a pre-feasibility study, which we expect to be complete in 2022. I mentioned that we had returned $100 million to shareholders in 2021. That was by way of $32 million in dividend distributions and also a share buyback. That share buyback occurred towards the end of the year, and it cost the company $81 million, so that $81 million was transferred to shareholders. And that has resulted in a permanent restructuring of our shareholder structure. So there are 13%, is it 13.2% less shares outstanding. So therefore, each share that remains outstanding should be more valuable. And I know the markets are in a bit of turmoil at the moment with potential increase in interest rates. But we remain confident that improvement in the overall shareholding structure will eventually flow into the value of each share. So I've already talked about RUPS. It's on track, and the Nataka pre-feasibility study is on track for delivery this year. We have done a very extensive mining trial in the new area where we are going. It's called Nataka. And so as part of the pre-feasibility study, we've actually gone and mined a significant portion of the Nataka ore body to see how it mines. Rather than testing and extrapolating from drill samples, we said, no, we really like to get into this material and actually see how it mines. And it seems to mine really well. So we're very happy with that. Okay, so in terms of the outlook for 2022, Steve mentioned that both himself and Tony are retiring, and he said some very nice things about the rest of the company. But I'd just like to use this opportunity to say thanks to Steve for his exemplary chairmanship of this business through a very turbulent period. When Steve took over, you know, this company had headwinds. We were faced with a steadily dropping product price. We had a lot of debt. We had a lot of difficulties. We were not as capable, in terms of our mining capacity and the business organization in Mozambique as we presently are. And Steve guided the company through those difficult waters and to where we are now. And I think we all owe him a debt for that. So thank you very much, Steve. And Tony, Tony has been managing our finances for 30 years. And, a lot of that time was keeping, the lenders at the door and not letting them actually into the kitchen. And he did that with grace and amenability. So I think that many people can provide a resistance and a counter argument, but to do that and remain friends with everybody that you're discussing with is a bit of a trick. And Tony has been a master at that through the years. And so we'd like to thank you, Tony, as well for the great work that you've done during the years on the financial structure of Kenmare. So, however, back at the ranch, we still need to continue to work and sell our product. And we're delighted to say that during 2022, we're continuing to see strong market conditions. You can see that in the second half of 2021, there is a significant tightening of the market and increase in product price. And we've seen that price being maintained and even increased somewhat in 2022. It's a result of the industry having such a difficult time between 2012 and 2016, and consequently it not being a good industry to invest in. And if people don't invest in new production, eventually you get to a situation where you've got continuous growth in the market, that you get into a supply squeeze. And that's basically where we see the market at the moment. There was a global inventory that was an extraordinarily large inventory that has sustained the market over the last several years, and has that the depletion of that industry has balanced the market. But we see that that's pretty well gone now, and we see that we see the market being generally tight with little inventory in the system, which would augur very well for the future. On the other hand, we are faced with a very uncertain world where there is conflict in Europe for the first time since the Yugoslav war. There's increasing nationalism being exhibited by major power blocs throughout the world. And we are in an increasing interest rate cycle. And so there's a lot of uncertainty. So it's not that easy to say exactly where the price of our products will go. It's a period of great uncertainty in the world. But what we do know is our customers want our product. They don't seem to be able to get it in other places to the levels that they need. And we don't see new developments of new mines that can supply in the near future. So that's sort of where we feel the situation is. This is our global supply demand balance that we produce internally. You can see that in the years from 2018 onwards, it shows somewhat of a deficit, but that deficit was balanced by the depletion of world inventory. that world inventory is now depleted, and therefore you're seeing that tightness that's resulting in that significant uptick in market prices in the second half of 2021. So we'll see what happens. As long as the world doesn't fall into significantly reduced growth or a recession based on the interest rates, we see the market continuing to be quite tight. So this is an interesting graphic which has been prepared, which is sourced from a company that analyzes this industry called TZMI. So it's not created by Kenmare. And it shows Kenmare's journey from being a fourth quartile margin producer in the revenue to cost curve for the industry to being a first quartile revenue to cost curve producer. Now, the reason that is 2023 that's in it's there is that that's just the number, that's the year they chose to make their forecast on. We can't use our own data, or it would be different. It would be our thing, but this is an independently produced document. But you can see the journey that Kenmare has taken from low margins to high margins. And we see it as a key priority of the business to retain our position in the first quartile of the revenue to cost curve of this industry. So I mentioned at the start that our strategy was based on three main planks: operating responsibly, and as far as 2022, how that is manifested is the commission of RUPS and a broad set of environmental targets and governance targets that we have set and published. Delivering long-life, low-cost production. Well, we've forecast higher production, and we're working very hard to maintain control on costs in this area where, in fact, there are supply line interruptions, there are supply difficulties, and there is cost pressure. So we are really focusing very hard to keep those costs under control. And as far as allocating capital efficiently, we're working very hard to ensure that we have the optimal mining situation for Nataka, that it's the lowest capex to produce the best outcome in terms of mining, and that's where the pre-feasibility study comes into account. And we're paying down our debt, and so there's significant debt repayment that's already taken place, and we'll continue to pay down that principal this year with the opportunity to provide us with better shareholder returns as we're not supposed to reduce our exposure to interest rate increase. So that's really what I wanted to say. Do we take questions now, Mr. Chairman, or?
Yes, move forward now by answering questions from shareholders on any matters relevant to the meeting, including the resolutions themselves, before we move on. And I should say that we've provided for shareholders to submit written questions in advance by email. There's also an opportunity in this hybrid session for taking calls via the host. From folks who are on dial-in, there's an opportunity to ask questions on the conference call facility. So taking those constituencies in order, before any written questions are taken, I'd like to invite questions from the floor here today, and then we'll proceed to ask shareholders on the conference call. So, any questions from the floor here today? Could you, if you wouldn't mind, identifying yourself and if you're representing an institution or proxy, please say what that is.
I was saying, how is the security situation over there? It was bit uneven for a while.
That's a peak, yeah.
Yeah.
Will I take that?
Michael, yeah.
Yeah. So there is some security issue in the north of Mozambique. That has little, no effect on Kenmare or Kenmare's activities.
Yeah.
So security is the same as any normal mine. Is
that
the security's job is to stop people stealing copper wire and things like that. So it's just the same as any other mine in the world. We don't have any issues associated with insurgency or terrorism.
Good. Thank you.
And I might also say we're several hundred kilometres away from the area where there was some conflict, and that's died down considerably now anyway. Any other questions?
John Farrell, miner investor. Would you like to comment on the political risk for investors in Mozambique and the outlook?
Michael, go ahead.
So the ruling party in Mozambique is the Frelimo Party. There are elections in 2024. We believe that Frelimo is likely to win those elections. So we don't see any significant change in the nature of government in Mozambique in the near future. That will be a four-year term. There is obviously an insurgency in the north of the country in the Cabo Delgado province. That's about 700 kilometers north from where we are. It's a very regionally orientated insurgency. It's been active for about 6 years. It has never spilled beyond a very small, isolated area in the north. And at the moment is fully contained by the presence of foreign troops in the area who have done a good job of securing the area. So in terms of Mozambique as a place to operate, we think it's a fine country. We have had very good relations with the government throughout. They work as an effective regulator. If we spill oil, we come up, they examine it, they criticize us and ask us what we're going to do to ensure that that doesn't happen again. We have to put in our reports every month. We have to pay our taxes, and it's all regulated properly in a regular functioning environment. So, in terms of operating the company there, it's great, it's fine. So, as an investor, I think that's really the critical thing. So, I don't see the government changing, and I don't see them changing the way that they have operated with us for 15 years.
Thanks, Michael. Any more questions from the floor? No, in which case we'll move to seek shareholders on the conference call through our host. Chantal, are you there?
Yes. At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question over the phone, please press star 1. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Again, if you would like to ask a question over the phone, please press star 1. There are no audio questions at this time. I'll turn the call back over to Stephen.
Thank you very much indeed. So with that, we'll move on to the formal business of the meeting, and I'll start by explaining the voting process for today. This year, voting will be done by poll, a written vote, on each of the resolutions put to the meeting. This allows you, our shareholders, the opportunity to participate in the decision-making of the company and in a very real way and have your votes recorded in proportion to the number of shares you hold. And we have appointed Computershare, our company's registrars, to act as scrutineers. And for convenience, the poll on all of the resolutions will be held at the end of the meeting as opposed to after each resolution for efficiency's sake. If you've already voted by proxy and do not wish to change your vote, you need to take no action now. If you do wish to vote or change the vote you have previously cast by proxy, then you will need to wait until the voting is formally opened towards the end of the meeting. And at that point, the voting procedure will be explained and you'll be given time to cast your vote. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to start the formal proceedings of this annual general meeting. and I declare that the required quorum is present and this meeting is open. And this notice of meeting, together with explanatory notes, was posted to all shareholders on the 21st of April. And accordingly, the requisite notice of the meeting has been given. And I propose, therefore, with your permission, that the notice of meeting should be taken as read. And I'll now outline each of the 13 resolutions being proposed today, three of which are novel, relating to the odd lots offer, before putting each of the resolutions to a poll vote. So, AGM resolution number one is adoption of reports and financial statements and the auditor's report for the year ended 31 December 2021. I propose that they're hereby approved and adopted. The report and financial statements, which include the auditor's report on pages 130 to 133, have been in your hands for the statutory period, and Keith Watt of our auditors KPMG is with us here today. So I now want to propose the resolution, and the poll on this resolution will be held at the end of this annual general meeting. Thank you. Resolution number two, as noted in my letter to shareholders, the purpose of resolution two is to receive and consider the Remuneration Committee report and the annual report on remuneration as set out on pages 104 to 117 of the annual report. This is an advisory resolution, it is not binding on the company, but it is being put to shareholders in accordance with section 1110N of the Companies Act 2014. So I now propose that resolution, again with the poll to be held at the end of the meeting. Thank you. Resolution number three is the declaration of a final dividend, I'm delighted to say, of 25.42 US cents per share in respect of the year ended 31 December 2021. This dividend is being recommended to you by the directors and is in addition to the interim dividend of 7.29 US cents per share already paid in October 2021. And subject to passing this resolution, the final dividend will be paid on the 1st of June 2022 to all shareholders of record of the 29th of April 2022. So I now propose this resolution and the poll on this resolution number three will be held at the end of the meeting. Moving on to AGM resolution four, your directors have resolved that this year all the directors except myself will submit themselves for election or re-election, as the case may be, to the board. Accordingly, there are nine separate resolutions dealing with the election and re-election of directors, and biographical details of each director appear on pages 76 and 77 of the 2021 annual report. We'll propose separately each of these resolutions, if you don't mind, for the re-election and election of directors, again with the poll at the end of the meeting. So firstly, I propose that Michael Carvel, being a retiring director, be and is hereby re-elected a director of the company. I also propose that Elaine Dorward-King, being a retiring director, be and is hereby re-elected a director of the company. I propose that Clever Fonseca, being a retiring director, be and is hereby re-elected a director of the company. I now propose that Graham Martin, being a retiring director, be and is hereby re-elected a director of the company. And I now propose that Tony McCluskey, being a retiring director, also is hereby re-elected a director of the company. I propose that Sunir Undekar, being a retiring director, be and is hereby elected a director of the company. And I propose that Deirdre Summers, being a retiring director, is hereby elected a director of the company. I also propose that Meta DeBell, who retires in accordance with the Articles of Association, be and is hereby elected a director of the company. And finally, I propose that Andrew Webb, who retires in accordance with the Articles of Association as well, be and is hereby elected a director of the company. So a poll of each of these resolutions will be held at the end of the meeting. Moving on to the fifth resolution. This is to authorize the directors to fix remuneration of the auditors for the year ended 31 December 2022. And then I propose this resolution. And this poll will also be held at the end of the meeting. Resolution 6 is proposed to allow the company to continue to call a general meeting to consider an ordinary resolution on not less than 14 clear days' notice. For the past few years, the company has sought this annual authority to preserve its ability to utilize, where appropriate, this shorter notice period if needed. The directors consider that it is in the interest of the company to retain this flexibility, and the approval will be effective until the company's next AGM, when it's intended that a similar resolution will again be proposed. As a matter of policy, the 14-day notice period will be utilized only when the directors believe that it is merited by the business of the meeting and the circumstances prevailing at the time. So I now propose that resolution as a special resolution, and the poll on this resolution will be held at the end of the meeting. Moving on to Resolution 7, this proposes that the board be authorized to allot and issue relevant securities, essentially shares in the company, and this authority extends to relevant securities up to an amount equal to approximately one-third of the issued ordinary share capital. The full text of the resolution is set out in the notice of the annual general meeting, and this authorization, if granted, will expire on the early of the date of the 2023 AGM, and 26th of August 2023, unless previously renewed or revoked. Turning to Resolution 8 on preemption rights, proposed to authorize the board to allot shares for cash, otherwise than in accordance with statutory preemption rights under certain circumstances. It's a special resolution and empowers the directors to allot shares in the company for cash without first offering them to existing shareholders in proportion to their holdings. This power is limited to shares having an aggregate nominal value equal to the nominal value of 5% of the issued share capital, and the full text of this resolution is set out as item 8 in the notice of this meeting. This authorization, if granted, will also expire on the earlier of the date of the 2023 AGM and the 26th of August 2023, unless previously renewed or revoked. I now propose this resolution as a special resolution with a poll at the end of the meeting. Resolution 9 is a special resolution which proposes to grant the company an authority to make market purchases of up to 10% of its own shares. The authority would only be exercised if market conditions make it advantageous to do so, if the directors were to consider that such purchases would be in the best interests of shareholders. The authority, if given, will not oblige any shareholders to sell his or her shares in the company, and the full text of the resolution is set out as item 9 in the notice to the meeting. So I now propose this resolution as a special resolution with the poll to be held at the end of the meeting. Resolution 10 is a special resolution and proposes to sanction the price range at which any Treasury share may be reissued other than on Euronext Dublin. The treasury share is a share of the company purchased and held by the company rather than being cancelled. The maximum and minimum prices at which such a share may be reissued are generally 120% and 95% respectively of the average market price of a share calculated over the 5 business days immediately preceding the date of such reissue. And the full text of the resolution is set out as item 10 in the notice to this meeting. And the authorization, if granted, will expire on the earlier of the date of the 2022 AGM and the 26th of November 2023, unless previously renewed or revoked. So I now propose this resolution as a special resolution, and the poll will be held at the end of the meeting. I'm now moving on to 3 resolutions to deal with the odd lot offer. Resolution 11 is a special resolution which proposes to add a new article to the Articles of Association. The text of the new article has been set out in Resolution 11 in the notice of this AGM. It will give the company authority to facilitate the reduction in the number of shareholders holding, in aggregate, fewer than 200 shares in the company, and in an equitable manner, i.e. an odd lot offer. The new article makes provision for eligible odd lot holders who fail to make an election pursuant to an odd lot offer to be deemed to have agreed to sell their shareholding. Therefore, subject to a further specific authority proposed in Resolution 12, the shareholdings of such shareholders who are eligible to participate in an odd lot offer that is purchased by the company pursuant to the terms of the offer. So I now propose a resolution and a special resolution, and the poll on this will be held at the end of the meeting. Resolution 12 is an ordinary resolution, subject to the passing of resolutions 11 and 13, and it authorizes the directors to implement an odd lot offer and to purchase shares from those shareholders who hold fewer than 200 shares, and who either one, elect to accept the odd lot offer, or two, fail to make an election pursuant to such an offer, and this authority will be valid for a period of 18 months, and the directors may decide to implement an odd lot offer at any time within that period. The full text of the resolution is set out as item 12 in the notice of the meeting. So I now propose the resolution and the poll on this resolution to be held at the end of the meeting. While my voice is failing, we come to the final resolution, number 13, which is a special resolution relating to the odd lot offer. The purchase of shares by the company pursuant to the offer is what is called an off-market purchase in company law and will be effected under a purchase contract. The off-market purchase is subject to shareholder approval, and resolution 13 is being proposed to obtain that approval. The authority contained in Resolution 13 is being sought for a period of 18 months, and the purchase contract will be entered into by the company with eligible odd lot holders. It was available for inspection at our registered office for 21 days prior to this meeting, and will continue to be available for inspection until the end of this meeting. The full text of the resolution is in any case set out as item 13 in the notice of this meeting. So I now propose a resolution as a special resolution, and the poll will be held at the end of this meeting. So, with the resolutions set out as I have done, I want to now turn to voting procedures, and a poll will be taken on each of the resolutions which have been put to the meeting, and the procedure for conducting the poll. Votes may be given by the registered holders of ordinary shares present here in person or proxy today and entitled to vote. Every such holder has one vote for every ordinary share, and I will also vote on behalf of those holders who have sent a proxy instructing the company and appointing me as chairman of the meeting to vote on their behalf. And after the poll has been conducted, the vote cast will be verified under scrutiny by Computershare by referencing the register of members and the list of authenticated proxies received by the company. Computershare will report the totals of votes cast for and against the resolutions and the number of withheld votes. And as you can imagine, the poll will take some time to be conducted, and therefore, if with your permission, I'm closing the meeting now, following which the results of the poll on all resolutions will be announced by the usual channels and on the company's website.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.